Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Season 6, Episode 133. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Koller, Nolan Hames, and Sander Johnson.
I'm Troy Koller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., and we're based in Southern California. And I'll just give you guys the quick update. I'm currently in Mexico City, so hopefully the hotel Wi-Fi and my travel microphone will both cooperate for this episode. And so what I'm doing out here is I'm handling the graphic support, aka I'm the PowerPoint person for an event. I've been a tourist in the city. Pretty amazing city to be around. I've eaten at several of the local restaurants. Pretty amazing food. Mexico City, and it's my first time here. It's a pretty wonderful location. Weather has been great. I've gotten downpour rains every now and then by surprise. anyways. And then I leave from here to go almost immediately to Las Vegas. I have like a 18 hours at my house type of thing. And we're doing a very large event for that. So everyone on the team is super busy. We are, let me get this. We're not doing the presentation design. It's all physicians speaking. We did, the continuity graphics, themes, stuff like that. We are coordinating the speaker ready room, which has over 90 presenters. So we have to gather in all the presenters, get their presentations handed off, get them out to there's three ballrooms. We have a digital signage system across the conference area that we're managing. And then we have a virtual conference platform. The virtual conference platform for this event, because it's a hybrid event, is our VXP brand. So we're also doing this, 2,500 person attendee, 6-day event, and we're live streaming every session. And we're actually have techs in the ballrooms capturing all the content from the AV guys. And it's just, so things are basically a happily busy presentation world for TLC Creative Services. How about you guys?
Awesome. Well, speaking of downpours, we went from drought state in Minneapolis. This is Sandy, by the way. I'm in Minneapolis. We went from drought state to 3 days of torrential rain and flood warnings and all that stuff. It's just crazy. But the reason I bring that up, yesterday I'm the backup on a 400 attendee conference. I create the slides, but there's a producer at the corporation, and then there's the person who runs the event someplace else. And electricity went out. And because of the redundancies built in, I was at work because I was safe and had electricity where I was. It was able to be turned over to me, and I ran the darn thing. It was pretty amazing. And again, it's only for 400 people, but no one
at that event
realized that we were having technical difficulties. We got it taken care of 30 seconds before we went live.
There is a stressful time period.
Yeah, it was a stressful time period. But other than that, I'm really busy with the traditional work that I do, templates and slide libraries and sales presentations and infographics and fun things like that. Some of which I think we're going to talk about today, aren't we, Nolan?
I think so. This is Nolan from Montclair, New Jersey, where it's quite nice today. We also had tons and tons of rain last week. So we're winding down a couple of projects, a couple of template projects, hoping to get everything done by the end of today, because I'm going to be at the beach all of next week. Going to try to take a vacation if we can. Some of those template projects were going back and forth with the client. On one of them, I've had to say more often than any time in the past, well, if you go back to the initial scope, if you review the contract as per the contract, and ironically, this client is a law firm. No surprise. So feel like for the first time, the client, the contract, which you clearly haven't read. But anyway, we're getting through that. Last night, I had a catch-up call with our friend Tom Howell from Synapsis Creative in Australia, which was really nice. Just nice to, I just urge you to do those kinds of things. It's just in this time we're living in, you forget or don't even know what's happening, like really with the world and other parts of it. So they're locked down have been for weeks, and it's a lot going
pretty
on in Australia.
From what I understand.
Yeah. But
speaking of it being a global thing, who had the odd hours? Because going to Australia is, New York to Australia is a pretty big span. Oh, did you stay up late, or did he? Or
no, he. It was 10:30 his time and eight or nine my time. After the girls go to bed, and that's when I do my Australia talks when I have to.
Wonderful. And that's things. Nice. We have all had a busy summer with lots of project kickoffs, a lot of new clients, and that means we have gotten a lot of questions and requests from those clients. I would venture to guess that none of us have heard anything really new, because when you've been in business for a long time, and this kind of applies to any type of business, I think, when you've been in business for a while, you tend to get the same questions over and over from clients. So we decided to go over the things we hear most often from clients and our typical responses to those. Here we go.
Okay, let me start. This is my absolute favorite question. Can you make it not look like PowerPoint?
Oh, we hear that all the time. I want you to do PowerPoint, but not really. I mean, do you ever get that from other, you know, other industries? I'd like you to paint the house, but not make it look like paint.
Can it not look like a brochure?
Exactly. Right. It's going to be a trifold, but I don't want it to look like a trifold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we hear that all the time. And often one thing I say in describing what we do is that we endeavor to make things not look like PowerPoint. Of course, what we're hearing, I think the theme of today is maybe that the title of this episode should be client translation or translating clients. It's like those movies where there's like a crazy dad inventor who invents something so you can understand the dog, right? Like the dog barks and you're like, okay, now I know what you're trying to say. So what they're trying to say is they don't want it to look like bad, stereotypical, right? You know, old school PowerPoint.
Bullet points.
Lots of heavy, chunky bullets. And
And of course, square picture on the right.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, PowerPoint, of course, you know, Keynote, Google, anything. It's a blank canvas, and we have to explain that, and we do it over and over. And of course, we have to show. So, you know, I say, have you looked at my website? You know, yes, we can do that. And of course, you know, we also say, well, we can do, like, if you want we can do it in InDesign, meaning like if it's more for print, or we can do it in PowerPoint, but it'll look like InDesign, meaning it will look more traditionally print-like. So, yeah, I mean, of course, we get that all the time. Sandy, what's your go-to answer on that?
Well, like I said, it's my favorite, and I always say, yeah, I can make it not look like PowerPoint as long as I'm in control of the design and the content and the story flow, and it'll look beautiful. It's going
to
look
like that's a
big if. That's a big if, exactly. But I mean, for the most part, often the feedback I get from my clients is they get questions about which program this presentation was built in, and that's a big compliment, I think. When we get that kind of response.
Yeah, we get that a lot too. And years ago when Keynote was, you know, still younger, we would say a lot like, oh, is that Keynote and not PowerPoint? I'm like, well, no, it's not. But what's the difference? Like, people just sort of assumed that if you're using PowerPoint, it can't look good. And they assumed when they didn't know so much, like, oh, that must be Prezi or that must be Keynote. Like, it doesn't matter.
How about you, Troy?
I got the Keynote thing all the time because we worked, you know, both worlds back and forth. And it was pretty funny you could tell because PowerPoint has certain animations, certain transitions. Keynote has certain animations, certain transitions. Granted, Keynotes are more visually oriented, where PowerPoint's always been a little more, you know, we got to get the content out there, and it's never had a focus on the, you know, the smoke, you know, the thing drops, the little smoke comes up, the sparkle effects. We do all those in PowerPoint, but we have to do them manually. So it's not like, you know, anybody's going to take it on themselves. So can you make it look like PowerPoint? I think it's maybe frustration on their part. They're like, we just got to make this, we got to use this tool and we don't know how. I feel my common answer, kind of along lines of what you were saying, both of you actually, is I just say, absolutely. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a design team of professional graphic designers that make PowerPoint look amazing. You know, it's kind of funny. People come to us because we're a design studio. I mean, everybody on staff is a trained graphic designer and they want to look better in PowerPoint. Well, what's your perspective? We can probably assume, and that's what we do. So I just kind of like acknowledge it. Like, yeah, let's move forward. Skip that question. So right. Here, let's go on to the next one. How about this one? How about this one? So I'm going to go a little more technical. So you get the clients that that want a client, that want a template, you know, corporate client, individuals, whatever. And here, do you guys get this one? Can we have the template that users can just, you know, like drop the content into and have it look all good? Or can you make the template so that all of our existing slides will update to it automatically? Questions like that?
Oh yeah, and I say, oh yeah, you want the magic button? Yeah, sure. That's, that costs extra, but nobody knows about it. It's the we get that too. And I literally use that phrase all the time. I was like, well, there is no magic button. Yes, there's PowerPoint Designer. We'll get to that, but you know, that's as close as we're getting. But I think I've said this before. I just told a client this the other day. Basically, when clients come, and whether it's for a template or other things, basically they say our presentations, you know, are terrible and we want to up our game. I say there's the three legs to what I see it as three legs to better presenting in an organization. The three-legged stool. I know that's a tired metaphor, but one leg is tools. And like templates and slide libraries and image libraries and things we'll talk about today. So one is tools, those like boilerplate and templates. And then the second leg is training on how to use that or best practices. And I always say, I can give you those two legs. The third leg is a presentation police, meaning, yeah, I'll teach everybody how to do it. I'll give them the tools. But if then they just go back to their old habits, if they don't use the template or use it incorrectly or use bad, you know, if they go get bad clip art and I'm not, and nobody is there saying stop it, then, you know, I can't help you there. Yeah. Sandy, what do you've got to hear this all the time, right?
You're correct, Nolan, but a boilerplate collection, a slide library is one solution that kind of helps with that. And this is the one, seriously, of all thousands of presentations that I've done, I can tell one successful story, kind of. So one of the clients that I work for has created these roadshow libraries. They have 10 or 12 product lines, I can't remember, and they have presentation decks, that old word deck comes in there, but of a library of slides. It's in a story flow, but it's really designed for people to take the template from which these slides have been created and copy and paste those slides into that template. And that has seemed to work for this organization. It's a division of a very large company, so it doesn't go outside of, I'd say maybe it's limited to 100 people have to use it. So it's not a huge corporate-wide thing. And it's been working really, really well.
But those slides are, they may not be in the template to begin with, but those are the boilerplate. That is the content. That's the
yes.
And that's the biggest thing that I tell people. Like a template is, I don't think a template is complete unless it has boilerplate, unless it
that's
has-
right.
slides that you can steal from and use as is or adjust something, because I see so many templates that are just blank pages and a design that's hard enough for a designer to sort of go with. You need something to start working with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need something to start working with. You need to steal from yourself. You need to like edit something that already exists. That's the biggest
thing. Well, just something else you said, Nolan, too, is what's key though is you need to have someone in charge of those slides. You need to have someone who's regularly connecting with the users, regularly updating the slides and refreshing them with the most current information. And for this organization, that's all done manually.
Yeah, kind of related to the last couple of questions together. Whenever I talk about using icons, I always ask people to raise their hands if they have a corporate icon collection. And invariably, out of a room of 30 people, two people will raise their hand. And then the other 28 turn to look at them and say, we do.
Really?
and that's kind of what we're talking about. Like if people don't know that the tools exist, that's, you know, they're just going to keep doing the old bad stuff.
Well, first, I'm so glad we all have the same frustrations and the same answers for the most part. This is pretty awesome. But Nolan, on your side point, on your point there about the icon libraries, we tend to treat the presentation as the everybody brand style guide, because a lot of corporations have brand style guides. Marketing team, Marcom, you know, very few people actually know it exists and have access to it even. So we say, listen, we're going to simplify this down to the key rules. Your PowerPoint template should convey those. In addition, let's add a icon library maybe, or more importantly, your corporate logo. Let's put it on there in a format they can copy and paste it from, yeah, so they have a source for it, because everybody has the corporate template, but very few people get that. Anyways, yes. So yeah, well, we get that question all the time. Okay, yeah. Give us another question.
All right. Can it look like an Apple Steve Jobs keynote? Right?
Okay, Nolan, answer it. Answer
we've
it.
All heard that, right?
Oh my gosh.
And the answer is, of course, everyone.
Of course, well, you can.
Sure, yeah, it can. But as I have to explain, provided your content looks like an Apple Steve Jobs keynote. Mm-hmm. And right, mm-hmm, that doesn't mean you have to sell phones and computers, right? But it means you have to have the discipline to put four words on a slide, or one picture, or one simple graph, right? Because not every Apple slide looks like that. If you do some searching on the web, you can find some bullet points now and then. You're like, oh, there's too much there. But content affects design. So if you insist on having 12 bullet points on a slide, Mr. Insurance, you know, executive, your content's not going to look like, you know, that of Steve Jobs.
Oh, that's so funny. There's a meme going around of this little baby trying to sit on a toy chair. You know, I'm showing you, it's like 2 inches by 2 inches. And it's, that reminds me of my clients who ask for the Steve Jobs slides. They want that, but they don't realize that that content that they're giving us that they want on the slide, that timeline that they have to have on the slide, or that table they have to have on the slide, they're not going to be able to sit on that. They're not going to be able to present that.
That is such an awesome analogy.
That's so funny. Have you ever seen a table in an Apple presentation? It's usually four cells, right, that fills the screen.
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't think I had, but okay.
They used to have, like, it's like a grid of four things, but yes. Yeah.
It's magic quadrant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so I get this request regular basis. I mean, and I think I have a pretty good answer that helps people think about what they're actually requesting, because I think that's a lot of it. We're more along the lines of, let's kind of guide this conversation. And I think my common answer is, let's see, off the top of my head, is something like, you know, can you design something that looked like an Apple presentation? And I just go, absolutely. But are you envisioning an all white on white styling with a single image or a single call out word on every slide? Because you have to be a really, really in tune presenter to convey that messaging, and your audience doesn't have much of a takeaway. Or I said, maybe you're thinking more like the streamlined TED Talks that have consistent visual styling. They have a flow to their content. They have a way to identify the key points on each slide. Is that, you know, where are you looking? And I let them kind of go off on it. And they usually back away from the Apple thing and they go into the TED Talk thing, because that gives me a little more freedom. But it's like, we will have some content, but we need to manage it to a manageable level or something. Anyways, yeah, yeah. We get that.
Troy, that's great. Yeah. That, no, that's you guiding them. Oh, I'm sorry, Nolan. Go ahead.
No, go.
Oh, I was just going to, Troy, I agree.
And then I say we could use the magic button that Nolan has.
We need to start practicing now is the next thing. That's the difference. Jobs practiced and practice. And the TED Talk people, they've got, what is it? How many minutes? 6 minutes? I can't remember. But they have to practice every single slide. And I think most companies, the people there, don't have that time or the ability or the desire to practice that much.
Yeah, there used to be, I think the link is dead these days, but there used to be an article out there, basically behind the scenes, written by some executive at Apple, behind the scenes of a Steve Jobs keynote. And it was brutal. I mean, it just Ooh. Talked about all the technical backups and the, you know, the weeks that they really put into that kind of thing. But Troy, to your point, like, yes, it's always good to clarify what the client means. That white on white styling, that tends to be the advertising, because their mm-hmm. presentation slides are dark. Actually, it's usually that like dark purple gradient thing, which they.
But everybody thinks of the iPhone, the anything packaging. Yes. You know, that's what they remember.
Anyway, could we talk about how terrible Apple's advertising has gotten recently? Oh, okay, no, different podcast.
Different. We'll do that next time. So, how about this? Can you build a full featured Google template for us?
Nope, and that's where I hang the phone up.
Let me give you Bethany's number.
Exactly. Yes. Slide Rabbit. Mm-hmm. If you need somebody that can do it well, I just am not. I get asked once or twice, but I either guide people towards to PowerPoint or I'll hire Bethany to do it. I'm just not I know it's the software the kids are using, but I'm just not fond of it. It just, and I'm not, maybe I'm too old to teach a dog new tricks or something, but I don't know. You guys,
it's a different level of options, but Sandy, what do you say? Cause I got to hear this.
It's just, it really varies, but here's the situation I'm in right now and we're in proposal stage. The client wants a slide library built in PowerPoint, but used in Google Slides.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That was going to be my answer actually, is that I hear the request all the time. But what I hear is we want a template that'll work both in PowerPoint and Google Slides.
Yeah.
Cause they're both, this is kind of weird. You can't get anybody to admit a slide is a slide. Like a slide is an open canvas. We can design it good. Or we can design it poorly. Or no, let me say that. We can design it good, or you could just put words on it poorly. Maybe that's what I'm saying. But all of a sudden when it comes to templates, they suddenly really, they think that everything's the same. I'm like, they're not the same. That's the message I've been trying to say, is that it's how you use it. But these are two totally different platforms. I mean, the same thing with Keynote to a degree, but there's just no back end to Google Slides in comparison to PowerPoint is my takeaway.
It's just not as full featured. Troy, have you ever had a project where you've had to create it in Google and PowerPoint and Keynote for a client?
Keynote. Yeah, we do the back and forth. We actually just did a large, this was great because it was a designer in-house that wanted to use the Keynote animation effects. But the presentation, the whole event is done in PowerPoint. And it was an ultrawide. This just happened weeks ago. So this isn't like, hey, pre-COVID, there are big events coming back. So we got to design, it was very exciting, an ultrawide presentation. And their internal person was taking care of one of the key executives, was going to animate it. And they're like, well, I have to do it in Keynote. I was like, you do not have to do it in Keynote. So they took our template, put it in there. All they wanted was the three back plates. And they designed their whole thing, exported as videos. We ran those in PowerPoint. So we get back and forth.
You did that round trip where you created the animations in Keynote.
And they gave us the videos. And then we had to re-render them because the file formatting was wrong and actually adjust we had to make them work in PowerPoint. It worked great. But it was like, to the earlier point, it was like literally those are Keynote effects. Most people don't get to see them, but the sparkly things coming across when it animates on, when the wipe on with sparkles, that's a Keynote thing. You just can't do it in PowerPoint automated. We do it all the time. We have libraries of what we call sparkle and glitter. You know, they're pre-animated. We use them all the time. You want a Disney one? We got the Disney stars. We do them for Disney all the time. We got the, Fairytopia for Barbie. We got it. Anyways, it's just a more painful process.
Yeah. Joel Simmons does that all the time. Because he loves working in Keynote. So he loves all his effects that he'll output to video and then bring them back into PowerPoint.
Yeah, if PowerPoint could just support alpha-based transparency on video, it would solve or just raise the bar of so many things. Okay, anyways, full feature Google template. First of all, Sandy, Nolan, I don't think it exists because full feature to me is the PowerPoint tool set. Mm-hmm. It's much bigger, probably more so than anybody really needs. And people don't know what they're missing. And the second thing is, no, you can't make PowerPoint and Google Slides work one template work for both. It just, there's no back end.
You can export, you can import, but it changes things.
Okay, so Sandy, you brought this one up, and I'm kind of curious to hear your guys' answers. Can we have a custom icon or image library? What do you guys say to that one? Do you get that question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually, well, I mean, a custom icon library is generally a little easier because that's going to probably live in PowerPoint. And we often do that. And it could be as simple as here are a dozen icons on a slide, or like I just did one with like over 100 icons that we put together. And Sandy, I know you create a lot of your own. Generally, I will source or edit ones. I'm not, usually not doing them from scratch. But that's a little easier because that lives in PowerPoint. An image library has got to, I mean, it can live in PowerPoint, but we don't necessarily recommend that. But those are going to have to be stock images that you're sourcing from stock sites. If it's not, if they don't have an, you know, an owned collection that they've, you know, had produced. And there are certain stock sites that will allow you to basically purchase images and then assign, reassign the license to a client and for them to be used by an organization. But those are going to be, it's going to get more expensive because that's not your typical license. That's going to be the advanced license, the premier licenses, and it's more complicated. Mm-hmm. And usually I have that conversation with a client and usually they say, never mind. too much, or, you know, we're just going to continue using our own Getty license that's only accessible by the designers or whatever.
Oh, side note on this kind of pro tip here. This could be a pro and tech tip thing. I know a lot of people have utilized video blocks. It's story blocks. So they have video blocks, audio blocks, and I don't know, whatever they call their image thing. Read your licensing if you're using that. They just put out a new end user agreement and they're changing their tune. We've been using this company since they were, you know, under another name, and we used to get their stuff delivered by DVD. And they had open, literally we buy DVD collections from them of stock video. It was an open-ended license, so you could transfer it to your clients, no problem at all. And they've just changed it so that only the license holder can legally use the video elements, which is what I'm most concerned about because I don't really use their image library and everything. So if you're on the story blocks thing,
I did
make
not
sure
know
you
that.
Look at it. Just happened in the last week or so.
So wait, explain. Just go over what story blocks is.
Story blocks is a stock site. They really focused on audio and video, and then they added in imagery and maybe in font collections and stuff. They're a great, great resource. They were cheap. I mean, $150 a year for unlimited use of video elements was phenomenal.
Wow.
And the licensing let you use it globally and hand it off to any client. They have now changed. You basically have to – okay, let me rephrase that. They have changed their licensing, and you can't give it to your client unless you have a business license version package. So that $150 a year, it's a wee bit higher, like with an extra zero on there plus sub. So it's become business level, and we're debating if we want to use it because I actually love their resources. Anyways, so back to the idea of that. Let me ask this question though. Can we have the custom icon library? Can we have the custom image library? And Nolan, you brought up a really good point, is the images can't live in the PowerPoint. So the question beyond that is, I'm really curious, how do you guys deliver it? Is it in the template? Is it a set of slides? Is it where do those things live?
Well, I haven't done it for
the client.
Yeah, I rarely do that. I mean, generally what we would recommend is that they live on some sort of shared server accessible. So it would just be, you know, here's your 30 images or 50 or whatever.
Okay.
In one case, actually what we did was we created a, because they had a Getty or iStock collection or subscription, we simply created a curated light box for them that they, because you can send light boxes to people. So we sent it to their account and they're
that's
like,
a brilliant idea.
That's a great solution.
So we did all the image research and just didn't deal with licensing at all, which just makes it easier. And we should, I want to hear Sandy, what do you do? But we should point out, I know we've talked about this before, we do use stock imagery all the time. And let's say there are a dozen stock images in a template in boilerplate that we give a client. We've gone over this before, but the license says that the client can use those images however they want in the context of the design. So if you put it on a title slide, you can use it. If you put it on a agenda slide, you can use it. What you can't do is extract it, that image,
right,
even though you have it, put it on a website, or even technically, I'm sure the lawyers will argue over this, but you can't take it out of the title slide and use it to create a new content slide. Technically,
that's kind of what I was going for, is because if you deliver it in the design product, which is the presentation, a lot of the licensing allows it to happen. But if you just give them a folder full of images, that's a whole different level of royalty. Okay, let's get off that topic because that is a huge topic. But Sandy, what do you get the request for icon library, image libraries? I know
Icon all the time. all the time. And like what Nolan mentioned, that I include them in the slides. One client in particular who I'm working on a slide library with wants them both places. They want them searchable. So I have to make sure that they're named appropriately for searching, mm-hmm. but we're having tagging issues. And we'll, I want to talk about slide libraries in a bit here, but it's become quite a challenge searching for those icons, SVGs, that are on an image library. I don't do photo libraries.
So, okay. And you know what? Yeah. I think you're right. You mentioned a slide library. I interpret it from our other conversations. So Sandy, ask us about slide libraries.
Okay. Well, the question we get from the client is, can you help us build a slide library?
And you're working on a bunch of those right now, right?
Yeah,
I want to hear how do you do this?
Right now I'm one project in proposal stage. I'm in an audit phase. I want to see how they're storing their files currently, how their key people access the files, what kinds of slides they have. So typically it does start out with an audit, no matter what. When we get into actual implementation, I mentioned that one of those clients is using a traditional SharePoint folder structure, but we're struggling with tagging the slides and the files because of group permissions. And that's something that's like over my head, right? Mm-hmm. So working on that with the IT folks at this company. I've built a couple of templates and presentations for clients that were put into a slide management system by the folks at Shuffler. I don't know if you're familiar with that slide management system, but
we are. We've met them at the mm-hmm. presentation summit over the years, right?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, it's fun designing, but I have to change everything I've ever learned about working in PowerPoint to work in that environment, because while templates are used, slide samples are what clients access.
And like slides, pre-built slides?
They're pre-built slides that don't necessarily have a slide layout behind them.
Oh.
That's one-to-one. There's a slide layout there, but you stretch
modify
that.
Modify it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's
okay, got it.
It's an awesome tool. I have a lot of learning to do there. And let's see here. Oh, yes. I mentioned this. I'm in the proposal stage of creating a third one. Third library who wants their presentations created in PowerPoint, but uploaded to Google for storage and presenting. I have no idea where we're going with that, right?
So Shuffler is one of, I think there are about a half dozen, probably more, of those slide management tools. Yep. And they're usually cloud-based and mm-hmm. they require real buy-in by the client. Like not cheap mm-hmm. and it's an enterprise thing. I've never actually worked with anybody, and I've had the conversation a lot with clients. Like, yeah, you can do this, just like you can have custom macros built, but it's an investment, and you got to mm-hmm. like get into it. And they're like, never mind.
Yes. How about you, Troy?
I think I'm like Nolan here. Surprisingly, well, actually, I'm not like Nolan.
You're taller.
We don't do it. We don't do slide libraries. But unlike Nolan, who says he gets requests, surprisingly, I don't think I've gotten that request or question a lot. I think the last time it was brought up, the project I can think of was several years ago. It's just not a topic that comes up. So this is one of the ones where I'm going to say, hey, I don't get it. And I don't know why. Maybe that's a problem with us. But I do have to throw something else out there. Picket Images.
Yes.
They went really big, and we were testing it. And then we kind of got sidetracked because we got really busy. They have a great image and icon library feature, and you can use it as a corporate slide library, Sandy. Mm-hmm. And it works really well because you get to upload everything and you get to do it all cloud-based, or they will integrate with your – I mean, the licensing is so reasonable compared to most. I know it's a big feature they're working on, and we were experimenting with it, but they do kind of bridge that gap. So that's another option.
I'm so glad you brought –
Oh, go ahead.
I'm so glad you brought Picket up, because so Picket is I think it started just kind of as a image stock site, but now they have they have an add-in. So just like the Noun Project add-ins mm-hmm. or, you know, things within PowerPoint that you can set up your account with them and then you can upload. It becomes a digital asset management system where you can upload logos, images. They also have stock images within there. So you can upload all that your client, that your employees can pull from exactly. instantly. Mm-hmm. And you yeah. can manage it through a back end. And it, as you said, it's very reasonable compared to some of these other things. It's very easy to work with. And you're right. They want their plan is to get slides in there. I don't think that's available
it's
just
there.
Yet. Oh, it is?
Well,
it?
They have to, well, hold on. We're using maybe a beta run.
Yeah, I haven't
that's a
played
good question.
With it in a while.
It is very cool. It is definitely an option for the small, and what it was really made for is the smaller companies that don't yeah. have the Office 365 enterprise level, because that's what you need to do all the integrations. We used it for ours. We have our TLC logos in there. Cool. We have a set of libraries. We did icons. We did a whole bunch of stuff with it. It just kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, ooh, I should probably get back to those guys yeah. and say sorry that we dropped the ball on communicating with you.
Their website says welcome to the world's simplest digital asset management system. And it's pretty simple. I mean, you can also, we just also should throw in Adobe Creative Cloud. You can also access within PowerPoint. So if you're on that, you know, can't do slides, but you can bring in images and icons. And things
okay. Like that. So now that you mentioned Adobe Creative Cloud, see, I had this in the back of my head. I actually have I'm not a part of it because I'm going to be out of town, but our team is on a corporate brand training. It's one of our long-term clients, very large corporate entity. They are, and I did not even know this is an option. So you guys tell me, their whole icon library is accessed through Adobe Creative Cloud. So we have to have a Creative Cloud as designers. They will give us permissions to access their library. Now, I don't know if that means it's images that they've curated because, I mean, Adobe libraries are pretty cool. But anyways, they're using it as their corporate branding for all their for all their Marcom divisions. And I'm very curious how they rolled it out. So yeah, a bunch of on our team have a hour and a half training on it next week. So we'll see how that works.
And if you are working with Adobe Creative Cloud, look at our episode. I don't remember what. We had a two-part episode with Mark Heaps.
With Mark?
All mm-hmm. about Adobe and Adobe Creative Cloud and using that. So
that's when I started diving into it. I was like, wait, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like it's like you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know. So I had to go, okay, give us what's another question clients ask?
All right. I know I've mentioned this before. This is my white whale, my bane of my life. Can you create a graphic that visualizes our entire company's process or strategy or mission statement? It's so big and complicated. We think you can make a simple visual that will distill down everything that we do, our 100-year-old billion-dollar company.
Thank goodness you had the magic button, Nolan, to get those things done.
Yeah, it's called Smart Art, and it'll take me 30 seconds. And so I hate having this conversation, but I start off by saying it's probably not possible. And I have done them successfully occasionally, but 75%, if not more, of these endeavors and projects end in failure, meaning we will go down that road. And the enemy of this thing is words, content, and arrows, because we will try. you'll give me a 4-page mission statement or whatever, or something you tried to put together, and it's got 18 boxes and arrows, and I'll try to distill it, and then you'll circulate it, and people will start adding boxes back in and adding arrows back in and saying, no, it's not a linear process. It can go the other way. But then you can jump from any process to any process, and you can do this, and you can do this, and then let's make it 3D.
There are consultants that focus on just this.
Are
and,
there?
And, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are branding and mission statement consultants, and they are very valuable because they'll help distill the information. Right. They're like, you have a thesis. We need a statement. You need a core element that everybody can work from. What you're trying to do is say what they're allowing is everybody to say their division or their piece of the activity is a part of the core mission. No, the core mission is the core, and then there's all the bolt-on elements. Anyways, that's my
There are people that do that, and yes, I've seen it. You can get down to a paragraph of a mission statement or something like that, and that's fine. But even that paragraph has too much in it for that, what you think is going to be the simple graphic. So
what you're saying is you get these, but you just say, have a good budget because this may fail.
Yeah, and I really don't like doing them. Sometimes we'll go down that. Usually I scare them away. Like just last month, somebody approached me and said, we're revising our mission statement and our approach to, to our funding. It's a foundation. And they said, we want blah, blah, blah. Like now we're in the brainstorming, like this is going on for months. And can you do that kind of thing? And I had the conversation. They said, well, how about just, something for our initial meeting that's it's kind of come out. And I said, well, if it's an initial meeting and you're brainstorming, it's going to be raw. And it's generally going to be more like a table of, answers and categories. And they said, well, can you design a good table for us? I said, sure. I said, I can format it, make it more readable and everything. And they said, okay, that's what we're going to send you. I thought I was going to get a one page sort of distillation. I got 18 pages of tabular in from this big. And I said, this was what you were hoping the graphic was going to come out of? It was hard enough to design tables for that.
Sitting on that chair. They couldn't sit on that little baby chair.
Right. Can you make a graphic for this month, this podcast episode of that meme?
I'll try to find that meme.
So do you get, is it just me? Come on. You've got to get.
No, I get similar requests, but I think they've been honed in truly. Lately, I've been hearing your voice since you brought this up. I've been hearing Nolan's voice when I get similar requests, but I've been lucky, I guess, in that they're more of a product solution type of model that I have to build. So while I feel your pain and I hear your voice, I've been a lot luckier than one.
Troy.
I got to expand it. I'm going to say, the company mission process statement thing, yes, we get that. And yes, we can try and tackle it. But no, it's usually not. There's just not enough distilled information there. But, on a variation of that, it's, hey, can you make this look good? Back to the things we were saying earlier. But usually it's about a bit of content. And the result, we'll do it. We'll take it on based on our background. And we usually approach it with, hey, as an outsider from your enterprise. So we're looking at this from the outside. If it makes sense to us, we feel it should make sense to anybody you present this to, internal, external. We'll take a look at this. We do a lot of content, not content management. Well, it is content management. I'm trying to think of the right phrase to use here. We'll take a guess at it. And usually the results are either, oh my gosh, that looks amazing, because they've never seen it visually simplified. That's the rarity. Or it is a reaction to seeing what they now know they do not want. Because I have this philosophy of people know what they can tell you what they don't want, but they can by seeing it, but they can't tell you what they do want initially. So it's a refinement process. And hopefully that leads to a more structured and detailed reply with what they do want and what they do envision. So we could actually accomplish it. But yeah, the whole, when you get into the corporate mission statement or a specific process, that's very internal content. That's very hard as an external consultant to come up with without, diving into the background of every element. Anyways, yeah. So we usually create something and we just look for a reaction.
It's open-minded.
People react. We have we do a lot. Do you do this? You said tables earlier. We design a lot of charts and tables, and we have little green boxes, option one, option two. Hey, we're looking at this. We think this is what you asked for. Hey, we think this is a better solution for your audience. Let us, and it leads to a conversation. And if they say no, they're both horrible, we don't take any offense to it. We just bill them. So it's okay. It's all on the clock. It's part of the process.
So it's like your exploratory surgery, right? Is that?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it works and sometimes this is a bad analogy.
The patient dies on the table, but
Okay. So I'm going to ask one only because I don't hear it this often, but you've mentioned it. And Sandy, I think you brought it up and I know other designers bring it up and they want the presentation. First of all, they get customers that actually understand this phrase, but they say, hey, I want a presentation to be Creative Commons. Do you guys get that?
I have not, but that's stressful to me.
You haven't. And know what? I think the reason you probably don't and I do is I have so many more nonprofit and NGO clients.
Sure.
And you're mostly corporate, right? So of these nonprofits want I want to put it up on does SlideShare exist? I don't even know like where they're putting it up, but we want to put it up. We want to put it up on our website and have other people use it, which is noble, but that if you want something, we'll go over this again, like for the people in the back, if you want something to be Creative Commons, all the content in there has to start as owned by you or Creative Commons. You can't just throw an iStock image in there and say, poof, it's like, it's like, we all know that episode of The Office, like I declare bankruptcy. Like you can't just declare something Creative Commons, right? And have it be so.
Wow. That's stressful, I think, man. Yeah.
But we have that talk, and sometimes they're like, no, I want all the image to be Creative Commons. And I said, well, okay, we'll do that. It's going to take a little longer and you're not going to get, because we're just limited. Now, fortunately, you know, things have gotten better, and things like Unsplash, which is, I will just say, it is unclear that the language, I consider Unsplash Creative Commons, even though those words are not used on the site, and I've explored the language, and it's, I've even asked them, and the answer is a gray area, or just, I would say, not completely defined, but there is more, I would say, Creative Commons imagery out there, certainly, than there was. But I just did this project I was so really happy with. It was a series of three keynotes for one of my clients over the summer. She insisted it was Creative Commons. So there was a couple images that we were able to find. You know, go to Wikimedia. Anything there generally will be. But I hired an illustrator. Actually, hired two illustrators to just create simple line drawings, and then we own them. They're Creative Commons. Poof, yeah. And you know,
there you go.
That's the style.
Good solution.
I'm gonna say I don't get the request that often. It does come up, but I don't find. I mean, it's the corporate versus the. I mean, you have a you have an audience, Nolan, where they've kind of like embraced it, or it's a part of their understanding of what design is. You know, every enterprise, every industry kind of has their own go-to elements somehow. I don't know how aerospace kind of asks for the same thing. And, you know, and finance asks for like, anyways. Mm-hmm. But on Creative Commons, I just did a quick search to make sure I'm actually being factual. If you go onto my blog back in July of last year, I've already forgotten 2020 existed. Back in July of 2019, I did do we had the question, I had to put together a document for a client to explain Creative Commons. I was like, hey, this is really good content. So I did I just searched for Creative Commons on the blog. I break down the seven types of licensings or the seven types of Creative Commons, because Creative Commons isn't all Creative Commons. There are levels of Creative Commons. There is the, everybody in the world can use this to, I need attribution to, it's here, but it's not really good for commercial, you know, it's not available for commercial use. Anyways, I did do a really cool, I was pretty happy with it. It's the seven most used Creative Commons licenses. It's a good reference point. I put it out there, but it was fun.
Put the link back out there. I think that's a great link.
Yeah, I'll make a note to add that one, because I just did a quick, I mean, just go to the thing and search for, well, actually Creative Commons brings up like 50 or 60 different posts, but that's one of them. Anyways, I don't hear it as much. But I think it's about us having to explain what legal I think we end up having to explain what legal use of images is, because people hear a phrase.
Yes.
They don't know what it implies or what it really means. They know what it implies, but they don't really know what it means. And it's the same thing with, well, I just got this image from Google. Or could you just go to the web and get one of their photos? I'm like, no, we can't. If you put it in the deck and give it to us, we're saying it was supplied to us. And we're hands off, but there are a lot of legal ramifications. And as a design industry enterprise, we're very much aware of those. And anyways, but I think it's more of an education thing, in my opinion. I don't really get it they don't want Creative Commons to be created for Creative Commons. They want Creative Commons because they know it's a phrase they're supposed to use to say my images are legal.
Okay.
Anyways, okay, we got. Let's
do one more. Bring it home, okay. Sandy.
So, I have a story behind this one. When Troy brought this up as a subject for the podcast, and Nolan took it and ran with it, I went to the Presentation Guild Slack channel and asked, "Give me examples of questions you get from your clients, requests you get from your clients." And of course, it was a wonderful brainstorm. Someone even asked after we were all done, "Sandy, do you plan on a therapy session when this is all done?" at the end of the podcast. Oh my gosh. But it was very helpful. And Stacy Dirk with the Presentation Guild brought this one up. I can't believe none of us thought of it. Can you make this work for both on screen and leave behind presentation?
Oh.
Leave behind materials. How often do you get that request, gentlemen?
Yeah, it's a big one. It's that, like, we're kind of back to that magical, you know, button, that magical all-in-one deck, you know, can it, and you know, the metaphor, the simile or whatever that I use for this is like, you can't have one ad campaign that works as a billboard and an advertorial and, you know, bus stop shelter.
Same shape and size and everything. Yeah, like, yeah, right.
So they're different. They're different. Now, there are strategies, of course. There's, you know, notes, the design notes page and PowerPoint. There are, I have tons of, you know, strategies. There are, sometimes we do two different decks. There are animation tricks to take things out. There are, you know, basically having the conversation that, oh, there's actually no real on-screen even needed. This is just going to be a document. You're making a PDF, distributing it. So let's design it as such. So we don't, so there is no on-screen. And it's not going to look like, you know, bad PowerPoint. So it's just an endless thing. And, you know, it basically comes down to there is no magical design for both. You know, there's always going to be a compromise. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, but there's going to be a compromise from one
right.
end mm-hmm. or the other. So either it's not going to be as great on screen or it's not going to be as great as a leave behind, and you meet somewhere in the middle, and, you know, it's kind of
okay. I'm going to make this a plea to Microsoft, all the program managers that may, you know, I know y'all listen to us, but anyways,
Satya is a listener. We know that,
you know, when you're in PowerPoint, there's a great, you know, view as black and white or grayscale. And, you know, for print for black and white, you can turn things on or off. Mm-hmm. You can literally say this content doesn't print. Mm-hmm. When you're in color mode, you just print the slide. And I've asked for this for literally a decade plus. It's like, why can't you bring that feature to the color view? Because that would help with the idea of print handouts or animated elements. Because a lot of times you have overlapping elements. I'm like, people don't want to see the overlapping. I just need the printout to capture the last position. Thinking more about Motion Pass now mm-hmm. that we use Morph, it's kind of a little bit easier because everything is a endpoint to endpoint. Anyways, there's my plea is that you have this tool for black and white printers, which are antiquated. PowerPoint, people. It's a 1990s solution. We need a earlier one. Anyways, that would help it. And yeah, there's no real solution. And the best thing you said there that I picked up on is one, that's a compromise. If you want to do it, you're not mm-hmm. going to get everything for both worlds. And two, I love how you said there are strategies to accomplish this. You know, there's no easy solution. I don't really get that question that often, to be honest. We have kind of gotten to the phase where people like, hey, I need the slideshow and I need a printout or I need a leave behind or I need a summary. Can you design one of those as well? And we usually do it in PowerPoint. So it's a US letter size PowerPoint. We use it as a print layout styling, but we grab all the assets from the presentation. That way the clients can also modify it. Sandy, do you get this a lot? And that's by the way, you are brilliant to reach out to the Presentation Guild because I know the amount of input we got would make this conversation. We could keep going, but that was
exactly
thank
hours.
You to everybody that, yeah, so many people gave awesome input from what you were sharing. I think that was awesome. Okay, what do you do about that? Do you do it?
I think I get this request about 90% of the time.
Really?
Because so many of the presentations I do are capabilities type sales presentations, and those salespeople always want to have, they always say, well, they're going to ask for the leave behind. So I hold the same conversations that each of you brought up. Sometimes there is that compromise. Oftentimes it's the little customizing the notes page to look like a brochure or a stat sheet, that kind of approach. But I seriously get it all the time. It's a daily
really?
Challenge
okay,
for me.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, it's a big request. I just get you get it far more than I.
Well, Troy, I can't imagine that the people in the audience at the Nissan conference need to see that keynote slide handout. You know what I mean? I don't know if you work for Nissan, but you know.
They're one of the automotives we don't because they're not, but yeah, Lexus, Toyota, Honda. And we do, luckily those are bigger rollouts. And actually, yes, you know, the road shows have actually asked for that. When they do a road show, they usually want it to be more streamlined and simplified. Okay, let's call it a wrap on this. Yep. You guys good? This has been a great,
Standby. We could go on all day, probably.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Nolan, for the topic idea and putting together a list of conversation kind of starters for us to talk about. Thank you, Sandy, for reaching out to, well, not only your input, but the presentation community on the Presentation Guild Slack channel. Really great stuff. Maybe we'll actually source that a little bit more for future podcast topics, although we're never lacking for topics. It was just great input. And I love hearing what you guys had to say because, you know, like we started with, everyone hears the same questions just from different clients. And I know we could keep this conversation going much longer because there are so many more questions that are so common, but this has been fun. It's been great. Let's wrap here and let's jump over and talk about some presentation industry news.
All right, so what's happening in the world of design and presentation? Adobe Max is now going to be October 26th to 28th. That is the annual big Adobe conference. And for the second year in a row, it is all virtual and all free. This used to be a super expensive conference to go to, but it's free for anybody. So just go to max.adobe.com. Our friend Mark Heaps will be speaking and some other familiar faces, and in addition, just some really big names in design. And it's great. I think in general, the sessions are on the shorter side too. There's just so much there. I urge everybody to sign up, even if you can only make it for a little bit.
It's an awesome event. We actually have time on the for all of our staff to attend. You know, it's like billable or invoice, you know, time log stuff.
Anyways, a good boss.
Okay. Because I attend it and it's now free. It doesn't like we have to pay $1,400 per person to attend whatever it is. Okay. In the PowerPoint world, modern comments are coming to PowerPoint very soon. I believe they're rolling out to the fast insider builds like right now while when this episode releases. And I'm guessing by the end of the month, everyone should have them. And I know the PowerPoint team has been working on these and refining them. If you use PowerPoint comments currently, the modern comments are a huge leap forward in options. If you use like PDF comments, which we do a lot with our clients, you know, we get our feedback, we send off a PDF, they give us their commenting because they can point to exactly which part of the slide they want to change or what word or what image they're questioning or anything else. The PowerPoint modern comments is kind of more aligned to them, I think. I have a good overview article from Microsoft in the show notes, and everyone, I think, really should become familiar with this new commenting and feedback tool because it should change the way we get our feedback from our clients throughout the design phase. It's got some pretty nice, like app mentions are built into it. There's a lot of really cool stuff there.
Okay, so I'm going to read my next one because I don't have any expertise in this area, and I don't know about Nolan and Troy, but it was released in August, this news, so it's current and no one probably knows about Application Guard. It's for PowerPoint and Word and Excel. Here's the description. Application Guard supports saving in alternative file types. It is a new Office feature that protects you from files that may contain harmful data, such as viruses or malware. The functionality enables you to open untrusted files in a secure container. Hey, that's cool. Isolated from the rest of your data, which is good. So don't know how to activate it or know if a file has opened or this is a secure container. It allows you to use Save As to change the file type to a wide variety of options. I don't know what that means. What do you think, you guys?
This is all new to me.
This is directly from Microsoft, right? Like this is their feature, their release, and it calls out PowerPoint. I mean, I guess if you have a PowerPoint file, I really just want it to be a PowerPoint file. I don't need to save it as anything. Okay, wait, hold on. What if I have a PowerPoint file that comes to me as a macro? This would be like a Jamie Garrock question, like, you know, the PPTM, and I just want to save it. I want to get rid of the macros, so I want to save it to a PPTX. I guess this would allow me to do that, so I'm safer in opening up this strange file.
But I can already do that, so I don't understand the difference.
But you had to open it and activate all those macros, and, and that could be the virus and malware.
Because there, I personally have, and I'm mostly on the Mac, but I've never run into any sort of malware or viruses coming in with PowerPoint, but they exist.
That you know of.
That I know of, exactly. So have you ever, that you know of, like had a virus-infected file or something in PowerPoint?
I had malware once. I mean, this has been a few years, but I clicked on that something that downloaded, and I ended up with pop-ups all over the place. And I was able to get rid of it right away. But you only have to do it once, I think.
To ruin your life, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, well, that's
okay, cool. There it is for news. One tip each, or one news article each. Let's move on to pro and tech tips. Okay, pro and tech tips. You guys, I'm going to kick this one off because I'm in Mexico City. I was a tourist I'm here for work, but I came in a little bit early because I've never been to Mexico City. I wanted to see the city. And we kind of have a go-to guidebook series, and it hadn't been printed for Mexico City since 2012. I figured, well, that's probably not, I mean, historical sites are historical sites. So going online, I found a really good one. I'm going to make this my travel tip. Going to Mexico City, there's a book called Mexico City, A Travel Guide. Here, I'll show it to you guys on camera. It's actually a pretty thick book. It has absolutely no pictures. It is all text.
Wow.
It's by Laura Bronner. It is a self-published book, and it just came out. I mean, it's actually has COVID information about the city and COVID. I found it to be wonderful. It is basically somebody that's been living here, a U.S., you know, she's from New York, I think. Hopefully I don't get that wrong, Laura. She's been living here for the past 5+ years, and this is like her guide to all the places she likes. It's so readable, and it was such a great – it's very different than most guidebooks. It was like, hey, here's my street-level view of this. Here's the restaurants I like. Here's the museums that I would recommend. Here's the ones that, you know, are kind of whatever would kind of be an interesting thing to know about. It's a fun little guidebook. It's a little different, and the whole first part – so this is the part I'll actually keep this. She talks through all the types of tacos, like, you know, pastor, and she explains, well, actually I had huaraches and gorditas on my first night here. I had no idea what they were, except for that I'd read what a huarache is. I'm like, oh, a huarache is just a giant gordita, but it's like this, a huarache is a sandal. They're just big. They're flat like a sandal. Okay. That's why they're named like that. So anyways, it has a great food guide to it is what it is. In addition, I've gone to several other restaurants, and today I'm going to find the best churros in all of Mexico City based on the guidebook.
Ooh, so
there's my travel tip of the day. Nice. I'll put a link to there. It's on Amazon. I'll give you a link to it.
My tech tip is Synapsis Creative, Tom Howell's company in Australia. I learned last night, we were talking, they have an amazing set of free assets at synapsiscreative.com. So go there. We'll put a link into it. Under the assets and resources, they have a whole bunch of animation files and templates and other things, including they just finished an animated walking man in PowerPoint.
Is that free? They're giving that away for free.
That's what I said to Tom. Why are you giving this away for free? So it's really cool. They finally cracked the code of somebody walking realistically. And they also have, you know, realistic bouncing objects and things and all sorts of animations you can just copy and paste or use Animation Painter to apply to your thing. But take a look at that animated walking man. It's really cool. SynapsisCreative.com.
Wow. I'm going to recommend an interactive polling tool. I know, Troy, you use this. I really have just been using it in the last few weeks. And yesterday when we had this emergency, I was the emergency backup. I learned how to use Slido on the fly.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And, you know, for those few training presentations I do personally for my company, I think it would be a great way to keep people awake, one, during the training, and to get their feedback, to stay in touch, you know, make sure they're listening. And what I've just covered has been helpful, and they can retain the information. So Slido.com is a polling tool. It gives you everything you need to engage your participants, capture their feedback, stay connected. So whether you're on a team call, training, or an all company meeting, I suggest that you use Slido at slido.com.
I like it.
This is not a paid endorsement, by the way.
Sandy's not a real presentation designer. She just plays one on TV.
That's right.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Our website is tlccreative.com and bxpmeeting.com is our website for virtual meeting platforms. I also post regularly on my PowerPoint blog, where I recently finished a really fun two-week series on ideas and formatting tips for call-out quote slides. You know, when you have that, you just want to have that big inspirational slide. And what I did is we added as an internal project across our design team. So every day of the post is me bringing up an example from one of our designers. And I got to call it out as ideas and tips. Check it out at thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of downloads and goodies. And also nolanhamescreative.com if your organization is interested in training or data visualization or presentation design.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWhiz. And of course, don't forget to visit the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available from the Presentation Podcast website at thepresentationpodcast.com. Also, through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.